I did want to share just a brief word from God's Word with you tonight before we sing a couple more carols and then have our fellowship time together. I was debating different things of what I should speak on, and you know, there's always the messages that are repeated and repeated, and that's definitely worth repeating. But I was thinking back to the book of Acts, which was a time after the Lord was incarnated, and after the Lord had His ministry on earth, went to the cross, went through the trials and temptations, and the earth, like we talked about this morning, He struggled in the things like we struggled with, but yet He did not sin, went to the cross, paid for our sin, and then was resurrected, ascended into heaven, and then the disciples are left on earth. We alluded to that this morning. They stood there and gazing, and the angel said, "Hey, why are we sitting here gazing, you men of Galilee? The Lord's going to return just like He left, and there's work to do." And I was thinking back to the messages in the early book of Acts that the Apostle Peter preached. He delivered several messages there, one in the upper room. He also preached in Acts chapter 3 after that lame man was healed. Then he also preached in the synagogue at later times in chapter 4 when the chief priests and rulers were all upset and angry that he was preaching. And throughout those messages, there's something that keeps recurring. And it is the title that Peter uses for our Lord. And he specifically uses the title Jesus, or Jesus of Nazareth, or Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I was thinking through that. I was thinking, why is it important that Peter kept emphasizing to these people in Jerusalem, Jesus of Nazareth and Jesus Christ? And in one time we're going to look at in chapter 4 when he prayed and he talked about the Holy Child Jesus. He was showing these people, the Jews, that they had indeed taken this who they thought to be just a man, just Jesus, the carpenter's son, just Jesus who had a little following, and yeah, he could do some good works, and he was doing some pretty good things, and had some people that followed him, but you know, he was just a fad. He faded out, and the Romans took care of him. They crucified him, and he's just another man that came and left. Maybe that was the mindset going on with the Jews. But Peter's trying to get them to realize and understand that this is not just another man. This is Jesus, his human title, Jesus, is the very Son of God. And Peter is trying to tie those two ends together, so to speak, in the minds of the Jews, that they would understand that this was not just another person who walked on the earth and did certain things and was a good person, but he truly is the Son of God. Let's look first of all in chapter 2. You know, you think about all the prophecies that the Jews knew. Oh, they had studied all the Jewish prophecies in the Torah and maybe the other prophets in the Talmud and all the commentaries, and they really believed that they were well-versed, and the religious people knew, oh, we know exactly what to look for, and they were looking for perhaps maybe one that would deliver them from the Roman Empire. Who knows what was going through their mind, but they didn't truly understand that the first coming of Christ was for crucifixion. It was for a ransom. And so they had studied all these things and all these prophecies, and what Peter does in his messages is many times refers back to those prophecies and is telling the Jews, this is indeed the Messiah, and you missed it. But at the same time, the Messiah that came, He came for a purpose that you weren't looking for. It was a predetermined counsel of God that Peter tells them about. Let's look at chapter 2, verse number 22. Chapter 2, verse number 22. This is in the middle of the message of Peter. And he says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of where? Nazareth. A man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, and God raised him up and loosed the pains of death." And then he goes on and talks about David, and he says, "This is the Christ. This is the one that you crucified." Look in verse 31. "He's seen this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell. His flesh did not see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, we're all witnesses," verse 33, "therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear." Here is what Peter's trying to tell them. It is Jesus of Nazareth. You know, people say, oh, can anything good come out of Nazareth? That old stump town, that old town that was just a little kind of passing by. It was out of the main thoroughfare of all the caravan routes. You had to kind of go off the beaten path to get to Nazareth. And there's nothing good in Nazareth. There's nothing big going on there. To be sure, the Messiah didn't come from there. They missed the prophecy. They didn't realize he was born in Bethlehem. They didn't know what to look for. They were looking for the wrong thing. And the unexpected coming of our Savior. Yes, this is Jesus, a man. But Peter's telling them, take that human title. It is Jesus of Nazareth that is the actual Son of God. He is the one that fulfilled the prophecies of David in verse 25 and in verse 34 as well. And it says, verse 35, until I make thy foes my footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, and here's the key conclusion of his message, verse 36, that God hath made that same Jesus, the same Jesus that you believe is just a man, the one from Nazareth, the one that just did the good deeds, this same Jesus whom ye have crucified, he's both Lord and Christ. Now, the Jews knew exactly what Peter was talking about. The word Christ there is the word for Messiah. It's the anointed one, the Christos. They knew exactly what he was talking about. He's the promised one. He's the Messiah. And we killed him. We took by wicked hands and we have slain him. And notice the response, the great response of these people in the upper room in verse 37. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Now, I love that little phrase. It comes out in the book of Acts several times. And sometimes the religious leaders were pricked in their heart, and that was not a very good pricking. They were angry. And they were pierced and convicted in their hearts, and they reacted in a bad way and stoned Stephen, for example, and killed other apostles. They were very upset. But this was a good response. They were pricked in their heart, and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? These people had realized the connection. Here's Jesus, who they thought was just a man, and well, I guess the Romans found him guilty of some crime and put him on a cross and crucified him, and well, there goes another one by the wayside. Maybe that's what they were thinking. Just another criminal, and he died, and he's gone. They began to realize this man, Jesus, is the Christ. This is the Son of God. And notice their response that it wasn't, well, we can't do anything now. It's all over. We crucified him. We messed it up. It was, men and brethren, what are we going to do? And what does Peter say? Repent, be baptized, and you will receive the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. That same name, that same one that you thought was just a normal man, and was crucified, and you didn't understand it, and you missed out on the Messiah. The chance is still today. You can hear, you can repent, you can come to Christ. And this promise, verse 39, is to you, to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, isn't it wonderful that that's in the Bible? You know, there was a lot of people in the upper room, Jews and some Gentiles and people from all over, and they had different languages and different things, and all this going on up there. But it's not just to you in the upper room. It's for your children. It's to those that are far off that aren't even in the upper room, that aren't even born yet. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. If you know the Lord tonight, you're part of that verse. You're some that the Lord has called. And this Jesus, make that connection. It's not just a man. He's the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And it is through Him that the Lord God can call us, and we can also partake of this wonderful salvation. And we could read the rest of that chapter. Those people really began to grow and flourish, and they were steadfast in doctrine and fellowship and all those things at the end of verse number 2. But quickly, a verse in chapter number 3. This is a famous verse in chapter 3, verse 6. We remember the lame, impotent man there at the gate of the temple. And Peter, of course, says in verse 6, that famous passage, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of who? Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Again, he's tying in that connection. That man that y'all thought was just a man, it's in his name that you're going to be healed. Because he's still alive. He's in the heavens. And it's in his name, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that I tell you to rise up and walk. It's that one from Nazareth that everyone despised and people rejected and people hated. He is the Christ. Then Peter takes an opportunity here to go on and preach to the entire audience. Look down in verse number 13. I love this verse. The God, he's talking to the Jews again now. Chapter 3, verse 13. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified His Son, who? Jesus. Again, you got to see this. That's the human name that was given for Christ on earth. Remember what the angel told Mary? Thou shalt, or Joseph, thou shalt call His name Jesus. It's His human name. And Peter's saying, the God of Abraham, the God of our fathers, the God we've been trusting for years and years, even though we've wandered away from Him and come back to Him, the God of Israel, it's His very Son, Jesus. And again, he's making that connection. And they denied Him in verse 14, the Holy and Just One, and desired a murderer. And they took the Prince of Life and they killed Him. But God raised Him from the dead. Now look in verse 16. His name, what name? Jesus Christ, the man who is God, the God-man. In His name, through faith in His name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. The things that the Lord went through, and in His name, we too can know by belief in that same name, accepting our Savior. Look at just a few more verses here before we conclude. Look in verse number 20. And He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. And He begins to talk about these prophets, and again, He's telling the people, remember all those verses in the Old Testament about a prophet will rise up, and a prophet will deliver you, and a prophet will redeem you. It is this man, the Son, Jesus Christ, verse 26, unto you first God, having raised up His Son, Jesus. He keeps just hitting that hammer. He keeps hitting that nail right on the head. It's Jesus. He is the one that is the Messiah. And we crucified Him. But there's still hope. Repent and believe. And this message is to all people. Now, this type of preaching made Peter a little bit notorious. People began to realize, boy, Peter's preaching about something very specific. Look in chapter 4, verse number 1. As they spake unto the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through who? Jesus. The word had gotten out, hadn't it? And these religious people were, oh, why are they still talking about it? I thought we had took care of that Jesus. I thought we had killed Him, and I thought He was buried, and we're never going to have to mess with Him again. We took care of that guy. Peter saying, not so fast. This is the Son of God. You think He's just a man. It's Jesus Christ. And they tried to command Him, of course, to not speak in His name and all those type of things. But this is very important. They knew what He was preaching. Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah, the Anointed One. And the religious leaders, oh, they were so upset about all this. Look at verse number 10. This is what Peter told them. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, He keeps bringing it up, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man stand here before you. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. Now, I want to stop and talk about that for just a minute. We've talked about this before. But that phrase in the Greek there, and it's mentioned also in 1 Peter, has the idea that these builders, the religious leaders, they looked at this stone. You know, back in those days, they were trying to find a perfect stone to be the cornerstone. A perfectly nice square one, and you put it right on the corner, and from there you can build your building. Had to find just the right one. And it's the idea that they were out looking for that perfect stone. They found it. Oh, it's an ideal stone. But knowing that it was the perfect cornerstone, they deliberately took it and threw it aside. And when you think about that in the Greek, they're not as innocent. Well, he's just a man. They weren't as deceived or as innocent as maybe you might think. They knew that this was God's Son. He was the perfect cornerstone. They took it. They thoroughly inspected it. They didn't like it. They discarded it. That's the Jewish leaders. That's what they did. This is the stone that was the right one, and you knew it was the right one, but you said it had not. But does God deal with what people throw away? God still does His will and still has His plan. I love the end of this verse. This is the stone which was set at naught, which has become the head of the corner. Who does that? God does. Man may throw it away. Man may trash it. Man may say, we don't want it. God still has His plan. And He is now the head of the corner. There's no name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. What name? Jesus Christ. Not just the man, the Messiah that was rejected, that was thrown away, and that was discarded. We don't have time to look at many more passages, but just want to briefly bring out one more phrase. It comes out in verse number 27. And in verse number 30 of chapter 4, they're praying to God and asking Him to give them strength in the face of these religious leaders that are persecuting them. He says, for of a truth against thy holy child Jesus. Again, we read over these things and we don't really think about it. The disciples finally understood it as well. The holy child, the Son of God, is Jesus. And they had to come to grips with that. They had to believe that. Then they began to spread that message as well. It's also mentioned in verse number 30. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. You know, the disciples now fully understood that message. They began to give that message to other people. They moved beyond Jesus and saw the Messiah. And I've said this before, but I remember our society and our churchianity and our mega churches and our little emerging churches and all these little things that we have, we're enamored emotionally with Jesus. The man Jesus. Oh, he was so sweet and he did so many wonderful things and he did these great miracles. That's all true. He did those things. But we fail to make the connection that this Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one that my knees are going to have to bow to. If I don't do it here on earth, they will one day bow to Him. This is the transition, the connection that so many miss today. We are a Jesus society. You know, you see, you know, people put up Jesus on billboards and they have the "What Would Jesus Do?" bracelets and all this little stuff and Jesus everywhere, and they put Him all over everything, almost sacrilegiously. And they like Jesus, but they don't want Him to be the Lord and the Christ, like Peter said. I've got to submit to Him. He's the Son of God. He's authoritative. And I hope that we, during this season of the year, as we think about the sweet child in the manger, I know it's a beautiful scene to contemplate. That's the Son of God. And we need to move beyond Jesus to make that connection. Jesus Christ, the living Son that paid for our sin. What a privilege we have to know Him tonight. What a privilege we have to share. And remember what Peter said, not just to you, but to your children and to those that are afar off and to those that are in other generations. We can share that message. We have a part of this to tell others. It's not just Jesus. It's Jesus Christ, the one who paid for our sin. May we not forget the truth and the value of that connection during this season of the year. Father, we do thank You for Your Word tonight. We thank You for the testimony of these messages. We just went quickly through these, Father. They're so deep and so tremendously valuable to us as believers. And we thank You that Peter made that connection and wrote it and recorded it. It's recorded in Scripture, in Acts, by Luke. Father, we thank You that he put that out there, that people would understand. This isn't just a man. This is Jesus Christ. The religious leaders knew about it. They were upset about it. Father, I pray that we too would make that same connection in our lives and that people would know that we stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's just not a man. He is the Son of God. And He paid for our sin. Thank You, Father, so much for sending Your Son, the Holy Child Jesus, to die for our sins. May our hearts, Lord, continue to be filled with gratitude and joy during this season of the year as we gather with our families and as we contemplate and ponder Your blessings upon us. Lord, I ask that You just bless the rest of this service as we sing a couple more carols and as we have a good fellowship time together. In Christ's name, amen.